How are you doing? So most of the time, if you ask people these days that question, how are you doing? What is the answer that you're normally going to get? Tired. Almost every time, and this is not directed at you, Neil. I'm getting to you in a minute, so just hang on. Just very, very commonly, if you ask people how they're doing, if you don't know them well, they might say fine, because that's the standard answer. But very, very often, if you say to somebody, how you doing? Tired. I'm just so tired. Well, why are you tired? Right? That's the next question. Why are you so tired? Sometimes it's just something people need to make better decisions. Sometimes people just need to make, you know, maybe tomorrow you see somebody at work, hopefully not somebody that you go to church with, but you see somebody at work and say, how are you? And they say, tired. And you say, why? So, I just drank too much this weekend. That should not be a fellow church member. But I just drank too much this weekend. Or I stayed up too late binging Netflix and I'm just tired. Why do you want to get out of bed this morning? Or I eat like garbage and I never exercise and so I'm tired all the time. Well, you just need to make better decisions, right? Sometimes being tired is just a matter of poor decisions and bad judgment, right? But sometimes, and very often, being tired is entirely legitimate. I was talking to Neil this morning. I said, Neil, how you doing? He said, tired. And so I said, well, what's up with that? And so Neil's not a complainer, and so I was curious, and he was telling me that they got into a lot of things around the house and the yard and what have you yesterday, and so now today they're tired. Well, that's legitimate, right? Things have to be done, and even though the Sabbath is made for man, I won't get into that, but sometimes on Saturday you got to knock some stuff out, right? And so sometimes we're tired, we're mentally tired. I would imagine being in law school would make you mentally tired, Kaylee. I would suspect that you can get some mental fatigue, those of you that might be in school, or you have a mentally draining, high concentration sort of job. You're probably tired, you're mentally fatigued. I would imagine that some of you have some situations in your life that are making you tired. You've got some situations that you're dealing with. It's chronic stress. Maybe you're on the go. It's constantly to the doctor, whatever it might be. And so you're tired. And I know that there are a good bit of you here this morning who are over the official age of old, which is 57. That is where old begins. And as of December 1st, it will be 58. That's where old will begin. And so if you haven't done so already, if you want to make a note of that date, December 1st is my birthday, if you haven't noted that already. But that's when old will start. It will be 58. And so the older you get, the tireder you get, right? The older you get, the more tired you are. Or I think of Natalie and Damien or other people who have children, small children, makes you tired. Being with child, we have some of that, makes you tired, right? And so there are legitimate reasons, but all of us are probably tired, and some of us might be tired of something. There might be some particular thing or some particular person, heaven forbid, that you say, I am tired of that. And so there are legitimate reasons to be tired. Thankfully, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, I have come to give you rest. Matthew chapter 11. And this very familiar passage in verse 28. After Jesus has focused everything on himself, he says in verse 27 that all things have been handed over to him by the Father. That's a really important part of this that doesn't ever get talked about. We really want to zero in on Matthew 11, 28 to 30 because it sounds so great. But this is the key to the passage, verse 27. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. So how much has been handed over to Jesus? All of it. How much does he have? All of it. How important is he? Supremely, the passage that Mike read for us just a little bit ago, one of the three or four most important Christological passages in the entire Bible. Colossians 1, Hebrews 1, John 1, Philippians 2. These passages that tell us the centrality of Christ. It's literally all about him. And he says, I've got it all. No one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except who? Except the Son. And so if you want to know the Father, then what? You got to go through the Son. And anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal Him. Without the Son, there's nothing. Verse 28, come to me. Come to who? Come to me. Why to Him? Because He has it all. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. As I pointed out, this is part two of this lesson. As I pointed out last Sunday morning, at this point in His ministry, Jesus has been dealing with lots of different kinds of people. He's been dealing with spiritually sick people, physically sick people, hurting people, arrogant people, stubborn people, all kinds of people. And He comes here to this point and He says, I came to give rest. To who? Well, what does He say? Come to me who? Come to me all. Anybody who needs rest. And so what we saw last week, who needs rest? Well, those who are stuck need rest. A lot of people are stuck in the status quo. A lot of people say, this is where how we've always done it. This is where I've always been. This is the way I am, and nothing's going to change. They need Jesus. They need rest. A lot of people are stubborn. A lot of people are fighting against Jesus. They need rest. We talked about that last week. This morning, we're going to talk about the second part of that, the second two kinds of people who are suffering and people who are serving. Both people who are suffering and people who are serving need rest. Which of those are you? Which of those are you? You will find yourself in there somewhere. You will find yourself in that list somewhere. Either you're stuck and you are without Jesus, or you've got Jesus but you're not growing. So either you're stuck, or you might be suffering this morning, you're hurting, or you're serving faithfully. Or all of them, or some combination of them. Where are you this morning? I would encourage you to identify where you are in that, so that you can apply specifically what Jesus says about what you need. So let's begin with these. Again, these last two we'll look at this morning. Are you suffering? And do you need rest? In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus has dealt with one person after another who is suffering. In chapter 9 and verse 18, we have a synagogue official, this powerful man who comes to Jesus and says, my daughter has just died. So here is a man, he is a synagogue official. He is both a religious and community leader. He's powerful. He's used to getting his way. He's used to saying, this is what we're going to do. And it happens, and then his daughter dies, and he can do what about it? He can't do anything about that. I don't care how powerful you are. I don't care how often you get your way. When death invades, there's nothing you can do. You're hopeless and helpless when it comes to dealing with death on your own. And this is where he is. And then in verse 20, there's this woman. She's been suffering from a hemorrhage for 12 years. She's been bleeding for 12 years. And she's gone to one doctor after another. With what result? Not only has she not gotten better, she's gotten worse. Have you ever dealt with an illness in yourself or a family member and you went to one doctor after another and they all said, I don't know what this is. There's nothing we can do. I don't know what to do about this. This is where they are, where she is. And Jesus deals with this girl who has died, her family, and this woman who is bleeding. And then in verse 32, A demon-possessed man who has been rendered mute. He can't speak because of this demon. And it says at the end of verse 35 that Jesus was going through their villages healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. At this point, Jesus has dealt with so many people who are suffering. And He issues this invitation to rest. Are you suffering this morning? Perhaps it's physical. You have a physical condition. Or someone you love is suffering with a physical condition. Maybe it's a different kind of suffering. It's financial. It's family. It's a mental condition that you struggle with. It's job related. Are you suffering this morning? You know that when you suffer, mental, spiritual, and emotional exhaustion is unavoidable. When you're suffering, you're going to be exhausted. And Jesus says, I'm going to give you rest. Now, I want you to notice something. When Jesus says, I'm going to give you rest, He doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to make it better. In fact, He usually doesn't. And it's really important to notice this. When Jesus says, I will give you rest, that doesn't necessarily mean I will take your suffering away. In fact, it almost never means that. It was like that during His ministry. You remember when Jesus went to the pool of Siloam and there was the man there that Jesus healed? You remember that? The man, Jesus healed the man at the pool of Siloam. He was crippled and couldn't move. You know what else it says there that we often overlook? It says that at the pool of Siloam, there was a crowd of people who were sick. And Jesus healed one. Only one. He did not heal the rest. The Bible says that when Jesus went to His hometown in Matthew 13, He could not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. When Jesus left, there were a lot of people still suffering. When it was told Jesus in John chapter 11, your friend Lazarus is sick, what does it say? He stayed longer and allowed him to die. Now, of course, He went and raised him. But we need to understand that when Jesus was working on the earth, He did not heal everybody He came in contact with. He certainly did not do so through the apostles. You remember Timothy had a stomach ailment, probably stress-induced. Right? Timothy was Paul's representative in Ephesus, and Timothy was sort of timid, right? You remember that? He didn't like controversy. And Paul says to Timothy, take a little wine for your stomach's sake. Well, why didn't Paul just heal him? Why didn't Paul just put hands on him and take the stomach thing away? Could have, but he didn't. There was one of Paul's companions in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 20 that he said he had to leave somewhere sick. He did not heal him. Jesus does not always heal. What He says is that though not everyone gets healed, everyone can have rest. Think of all of the things that are hidden results and consequences of illness and other kinds of suffering. We see the outer, the person visiting Brother Herb this past week, and just the extreme pain that he's in. You can see that. He can feel that. You can witness the pain that he's in. Isaiah and I were walking. We walk every afternoon together. We were walking in our neighborhood the other day, and we were walking by a home that we pass quite often, and three people lived there. Three members of the family lived there, and they were all standing in the driveway screaming curse words at each other. Just screaming, fighting over leaving a car not clean. Just screaming at each other. Well, what we were witnessing was pain. What we were witnessing was people suffering, and we were seeing the results of their pain. Sometimes you can see it, but very often when it comes to suffering, there are things that are hidden. There's sadness. that comes with suffering. Suffering makes you sad. When you're hurting, you're injured, or someone you love and you can't fix it, it makes you sad. When you're suffering, you worry, you have anxiety, you're scared about what's going to happen, waiting. How horrible is that? Have you ever had something wrong with you? You go to the doctor, you get tested, and they say, in 2 weeks we'll tell you what's going on. How are those 2 weeks? It's the worst part of the whole thing. We fear what's going to happen. Sometimes anger. Sometimes we get angry. We get frustrated. And we have those very strong emotions. Loneliness. When I was going through the worst of the thing that I had with my hearing and lost hearing in one ear, then the other, and it was the whole thing. And it's much better now, thank God. But when it was at its worst, one of the most surprising side effects to me was loneliness. Which sounds ridiculous. But I felt lonely. But part of the reason was because it was a hearing thing, right? And when you can't hear, you can't connect with people, and you feel separated from them. Well, that's a very common side effect of suffering. You feel alone. You feel like it's only you. And nobody can understand. And nobody can connect. Suffering makes you feel lonely. Suffering makes you feel helpless. Because most of the time, there's just nothing to do about it. There's just no solution to it. Sometimes you feel guilty. What did I do to cause it? What could I do to make it better? And you feel guilt and shame, and then sometimes absolute hopelessness. These are some of the things that go along with experiencing suffering of various kinds. But what does Jesus say? Jesus says, after having dealt with all of these people, now notice, after having dealt with all of these people in extreme suffering, what does He say? Come to me and what? I will give you rest. Come to me, cancer sufferer, poverty sufferer, broken home sufferer, jobless and can't find work sufferer. Come to me and I will give you rest. So Jesus says, I've got resources for that. But like any other resource, it has to be tapped into. So the question is, how do we get it? Right? Because it doesn't do any good to have a resource that you can't get to. If you go deep enough into the earth, if you go deep enough, you eventually reach a place where there is so much geothermal energy, it would solve all of our needs. So in 2022, the planet used, and I think I'm getting this right, all these electricians, this always makes me nervous, but I think I got this right. So in 2022, the entire planet used 27 terawatt hours of electricity. I have no idea what that means. I just want you to think about the numbers. Just focus on the number. I don't know what terawatts and all that stuff. But the whole planet used 27 terawatts of electricity. 2022. If we could go deep enough into the earth, we would find between 35 and 2,000 terawatts of energy. Think about that. There's enough power in the earth right under our feet to solve all of those energy issues. But what? But we can't get to it. We can't get to it. We can't access it. We can't tap into it. So it's what? It's worthless to us for that. And the same thing is true about God's resources. How do we get the resources of God? I would suggest three things. First of all, remember Acts 16 and verse 25. Remember that Paul and Silas, remember the situation. They're preaching the gospel. They're saving souls. They have delivered a young lady from the power of a demon. And what did they get for their trouble? Stripped, beaten, and put in stocks. Well, what is that? Well, stocks to most of us mean So over at, what is that, Lost Treasure? Is that Lost Treasure, that golf thing over there? They've got stocks over there, right? You know the things that, like, they put you in, it's wooden, and you put your head and your hands through it, right? You get your picture made, right? That's stocks, except it's not funny, right? Except it's not fun. They don't have it for fun. The stocks that Paul and Silas were put in, they sit you down, and they clamp your feet into stocks after spreading your legs as widely as they can possibly go. And then they clamp your feet down in a dungeon of a prison with rats and roaches and all that stuff. It's dark, and you don't get any yard time, you don't get any gym time, you don't get access to the prison library, and you can't go to the bathroom. You can't get up and go to the bathroom. You have to use the bathroom where you are, in the stocks, after having been beaten. And Acts 16:25 says what? About midnight, they were what? Doing one thing that David Price would have been doing and doing another thing that you would not have seen David Price doing. I can guarantee you that. They were praying and singing hymns of praise to God. We usually focus on that, singing hymns of praise. But I want you to focus on the praying. I would suggest to you that it is the praying that enabled them to sing the hymns. It is the praying to God in the midst of suffering that enabled them to sing the hymns. And so what the Bible tells us is, when you are suffering, you need to pray. And I don't mean that in the flippant way that so many people use that. You go and talk to somebody, you're hurting, and they go, I'll pray about it. It's so flippant, I just pray about it. Let go and let God. And let it be a God thing. And all those horrible, flippant things we say. Not that. But the Bible says that praying works. Philippians chapter 4 and verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and entreaty, there it is again. But I want you to notice that next part. You say, I pray all the time about my suffering. It doesn't do any good. Maybe you're leaving out this part. Because he said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Intentional gratitude in your situation is something that will help you find peace when you're suffering. And then one more thing that will make a difference. Notice Colossians 3:15. He says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. So notice the peace of Christ, the rest that Jesus offers. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you were called what? In one body. And this is such a struggle for so many people. Because when we're suffering, what do we want to do? When we're suffering, we want to isolate. When we're suffering, we want to be left alone. We get up in the morning and we say, I'm hurting, or I'm discouraged, or I'm sad, or I'm angry, or I'm having this difficulty, and I don't feel like what? I don't feel like going to church today. I don't feel like it today. When that's exactly what we need to do. And it's not just a matter of going to church. It's a matter of being part of the church, a matter of being active with the church. But it is essential. Peace in the Bible is connected with the body. So if we want the resources that Jesus has, we need to be prayerful, we need to be grateful, and we need to be connected. That's where the resources are found. So one more question, and then we'll be done for this morning. Perhaps in the list that we talked about at the beginning, you noticed serving. And you would say that I'm a person who is serving. This is Matthew chapter 10. I'm a person who is faithfully serving the Lord, and I am exhausted. I'm a person who is faithfully serving God, and what I get for that is exhaustion. What I get for it is being tired. You might say, I'm the person in my family who is the spiritual foundation. And you might be the only one. You might be it. If it were not for you, your home would have no spiritual light whatsoever. You're it. Nobody else is seeking the Lord. Nobody else is trying to be faithful. Nobody else is trying to be good. You. That's exhausting. Or maybe you're a leader of the congregation. And you say, I'm working, I'm serving, and I'm exhausted. There's so much on me. Maybe you're the only person where you work and you're trying to be a Christian, or the only person where you go to school and you're exhausted. Are you serving and need rest? Well, when you're living, as Jesus says, under the yoke, there are a lot of things that go along with that. Maybe you're being persecuted, or people are rejecting you because you're a Christian. Maybe you're experiencing mental or emotional fatigue. Maybe you're suffering from perfectionism. Maybe you're one of those people who you're serving, you're doing the best you can, but you always feel like it's just not enough, I'm not doing it right, and you're suffering because of that. Maybe your family is under strain because of what you're doing, or you feel lonely, or perhaps you are even bitter. Notice what Jesus says in this passage in Matthew chapter 11. He says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, notice the next thing that he says, and this is very interesting. What's the next thing he says? He says, I will give you rest, and the way that I'm going to do that is for you to what? Take my yoke. That's not what I want to hear there. What I want to hear is, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest and you can retire. You can quit. You can stop working. Well, Jesus says, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you a yoke. And under that yoke, he says, you will learn from me. Well, what is it that we learn from Jesus? You know, we don't have to wonder about that. We used to have to wonder about, you remember what would Jesus do? You remember that, those of you who are older? And it's still around, but it's not the big thing that it was. Remember that, the bracelets? Remember the What Would Jesus Do bracelets? And then they came out with stickers. And then they came out with clothing. Apparently what Jesus would do is to merchandise. Apparently that's what he would do. He'd make a lot of money off of that. They even had a movie about it. It's got to be horrible. There's no way that that's any good. But they made a movie about it. What would Jesus do? Right? So you remember that? The question was, what would Jesus do? Do we have to wonder about that? Do we have to speculate on that? You know, the great thing is we can know what Jesus did do. We can know what Jesus did. So I want you to think about this. Jesus is under the yoke. Jesus is serving His Father, and He's doing it without losing His mind. How does He do that? I want to give you three things, and then we'll be done. Number one, Jesus was always aligned with the Father. John chapter 6 and verse 38. Jesus was always aligned with the Father. The first and most important thing in Jesus' life was to do the will of the Father. And that kept him going and kept him motivated. Secondly, Jesus lived for the future. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 that Jesus despised the shame of the cross and looked forward to what he would receive. Keep the future in mind. And then something that might be a little surprising. We need to forgive. We need to forgive. If you want a heavy burden to carry as you try to serve and stay active, if you want a heavy burden, never forgive anybody. If you want to really be weighed down as you're trying to serve God and be faithful, but if you want to be sure that you'll get tired and quit, never forgive anybody. Remember everything everybody ever did against you. Write down every slight, every offense, every insult, every injury, and hang on to it, and don't ever let it go. And you will wear yourself out because you're carrying something that you cannot carry. Forgiving those who hurt us is absolutely essential to staying faithful and staying active. Well, next week, Lord willing, you can take your songbook out. We'll sing that song In just a moment, next week, we're going to finish up. Is that right? Yes. Next week, we're going to finish up the series on Jesus leads his people as we look at how Jesus fulfills the promises of God. Next month, Lord willing, brand new series, really excited about breaking the cycle of sin. We'll be talking about specifically, very practically, how to do that. But that's next month, Lord willing. Tonight, we will be in Newport, just to make sure everybody knows that. We will be in Newport tonight at the Church of Christ meeting place in Newport at 6 p.m., talking about Revelation chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. That'll be our text for tonight, and we invite you to join us there. So again, as we think about this list, where are you? Where are you? Are you stuck? Are you resisting a relationship with God? Do you know that you need to become a Christian, but you just won't do it? Are you a Christian, but there's change that you need to make and you just won't do it? It's exhausting and it needs to be made right. Are you suffering in some way? We would love to help with that. Are you serving the Lord, the church, your family, and you're exhausted? Well, there's help for that, and we would love to help with that. Jesus provides the solution, and part of His solution is the church. And we would love to help with that. So as you think about that, as we sing the song that Aubrey announced, we will be happy to help you. We'd love to talk to you privately after church, or you can come forward as we stand and sing together.